Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and speak with the Mayor of Wisconsin, Paul Soglin, about the Democrats' ground game in the last days before the recall election of Governor Scott Walker, who has received most of the $63.5 million that is poured into Wisconsin in this bellwether vote next Tuesday. We will discuss this test case between the power of money versus organization of the grassroots in an election that could be a harbinger for who will win the Congress and the presidency in November. Then we'll get an analysis of the latest Republican effort at radical social engineering, and that is the privatization of education now underway in Louisiana. Joining us is the former Assistant Secretary of Education in the George W. Bush administration, Diane Ravitch, the author of The Death and Life of the Great American School System. We will discuss how Christian schools will now get vouchers to teach the Book of Genesis instead of evolution, and how private sector vendors can now set up apprenticeship schools to exploit free labor in the name of education. Then finally, the patriarch of the anti-globalism movement, Jerry Mander, joins us. He has a new book, The Capitalism Papers, Fatal Flaws of an Obsolete System. We will look into his 7 point-by-point arguments that explain how capitalism's nature-destroying imperative for growth is both dooming the planet and not providing the happiness its products promise. This is Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'm speaking with Paul Soglin, who is the mayor of Madison, Wisconsin. He was originally elected to Madison City Council in 1968 while a graduate student when he was still active in that city's anti-war protests. His activities are chronicled in David Moranis' best-selling book, They Marched Into Sunlight. Paul Soglin served 3 terms as the city's mayor starting in 1973 and another 3 terms in the 1990s. And he teaches at the Robert M. La Follette School of Public Affairs at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mayor Paul Soglin.
Thank you. Good to be back with you.
It's good to be back with you, and I know that you're very busy, and you've got 2 more days here. Tell me about the ground game for the Democrats, because the disparity in the money that's coming in is Governor Walker, the incumbent, has outraised the mayor of Milwaukee, Tom Barrett, about 8-1, a total of $63.5 million have poured into the state. What's your sense of whether the power of money can be matched by the organization at the grassroots?
That's a real tough question, and obviously we'll find out the answer on Tuesday. But there's an element here which has not been discussed at all, and that is that all of the polling that's been done is a polling of traditional likely voters. And that's out the window in this election. I've had several meetings with our city clerk this week who they were working till 2 in the morning after a full day on Friday on absentee ballots. But here's the 2 key points. First, there's a reemergence of new registrations of voters who have not voted in at least a decade to 2 decades. These are people who are reentering the political system to vote in the election. These folks did not even vote in the 2008 election. We don't know who they're voting for, but that's one very significant factor. And the second is the extraordinary number of absentee ballots. Madison is 4% of the state's population. Based on the current data we have, it looks like we've got 10% of the absentee ballots. Now, if that follows with turnout in the general election, again, all the polling data is then skewed.
So we were talking earlier, Paul, with Diane Ravitch, who was the Assistant Secretary of Education under George W. Bush, and we were talking about how the state of Louisiana now is privatizing its education, giving out vouchers, etc.
Yes.
I know that that's a part of your governor's, Scott Walker's agenda. All of this agenda, by the way, is being organized by ALEC, this American Legislative Exchange Council. They give out this model legislation. So just in a broader question, since you've done some Democratic organizing in your past, I don't understand the asymmetry between the Republicans who are really radically re-engineering this country. There's underway, there's massive social engineering in terms of the Ryan plan at the federal level, this new attempt at vouchers to privatize education and to make a permanent Republican majority, because all of these Christian schools will be getting public monies now and indoctrinating their kids into right-wing Republican values. I mean, they are laying the groundwork for a permanent majority in this country, and I just don't understand the complacency on the part of the Democrats not to understand what a vast, well-organized machine they're up against.
Well, one of the things that I think we have to revisit is some of the literature of the 1930s. It can't happen here. We have to understand that this is an attempt to fundamentally alter our democracy, which an important touch point was the Supreme Court's decision in the United case, which opened the doors for the corporate presence in our elections. One of the things that we're all going to have to do to combat this is start asking every place we spend our money, are you contributing to Americans for prosperity? Are you part of the OLED program? This has to be asked. I mean, when we go to Home Depot, when we go to Amway, if people continue to shop there, they have to understand that their dollars are in part being used to destroy them and to destroy their democracy. These folks are unrelenting. They're not going to quit. And you're absolutely correct. They're going to change the rules. I mean, what they've done here in Wisconsin, which historically has worked to get as many voters engaged in the electoral process, is without shame. The combination of the voter ID legislation, the efforts to suppress voter turnout, we're back to the days of the old South with the poll tax. It's worse.
Well, I understand that one of the reasons that that Walker's slightly ahead in the polls is that the campaign, apart from the fact that they've vilified Tom Barrett with completely specious charges, they've also apparently pushed this idea that the recall itself is the problem. This is not about politics. This is about a bad governmental mechanism that shouldn't be used.
Yes.
Isn't that what they're doing?
In the last couple of days, these folks who, by the way, went after one of their own a few years ago, one of the moderate Republicans who they recalled for not towing the party line. They've launched a campaign in the last 4 or 5 days with this thrust that the recall is undemocratic, that the recall is a bad thing to do. And regardless of how you feel about Governor Walker, what he's done, or Mayor Barrett in Milwaukee as a candidate, you should vote for Walker as a simple message, and as a simple message that you're against the recall. And they're actually putting people on the air saying, I'm a Democrat. Who knows if they are or not, but saying I'm a Democrat, but I'm voting for Walker because I think a recall is a bad idea.
So would that explain why I heard that 36% of union households are against the recall?
Well, that's an interesting number. First of all, I'm highly suspicious as to the source of the information.
Well, I heard it on MSNBC, so...
it depends where the poll comes from.
Right.
Where the original source of the numbers. But the point is... that may be 36% union households that are Republican through and through. Who knows? But the question you're asking, and going back also to the privatization of the schools and all that sort of thing, we've got to determine what is our message. What is it that we stand for? The Republicans are very good at deceiving people, feeding them a line about one message, which on a value scale may be as important as a 7 or an 8 and not letting folks know what they're going to do where the value is a one or a two, and it's really high. And this is where the Tea Party, this is where, Norquist, Grover Norquist is, and Karl Rove are very good, and they've trained their folks well. Those of us on the left, the progressives, we haven't mastered that skill, partially probably because we find something repugnant in the manipulative nature of what these folks are doing.
Well, it's clearly, if the debates count, and the Barrett did very well in the debate, at least from what I could tell.
Oh, especially the last debate was exceptional.
Yeah.
He did very well, yes.
And do you think that has that moved the numbers a little bit, or still Walker still slightly ahead?
It's so hard to tell. There's no question that in the conventional polling that Walker's ahead by a few percentage points. As I said at the top, the numbers are not to be believed because they're based on likely voters from models of polling that don't fit this election, because we have so many people who have not voted in the last decade who plan to participate in this election. But the other thing I think is critical to this discussion in terms of these numbers and the polling, it appears that with the tens of millions of dollars that Walker and his allies have poured in, he's more or less hit a wall. Now, unfortunately, that wall is over 50%, at least in terms of the polling we've seen. But the nature of our democracy, again, going back to the United case and the ability to raise money, is really at stake here. And I think it's going to be up to all of us. I mean, one of the things I'm contemplating right now for our city is legislation where we might ask those who do business with us over a certain dollar amount to disclose if their corporation has participated in campaign contributions, and if so, how much and to whom. We're just asking for disclosure. But people have to know when they go shopping, when they hire someone, when they spend their hard-earned dollars, they have to know who is taking those dollars and trying to crush them and crush their families.
Well, I've often wondered, again, I'm speaking with Paul Soglin, the mayor of Madison, Wisconsin. I've often wondered why there isn't a consumer boycott against the Koch brothers. After all, they have very prominent products that they own, Dixie Cup, Brawny Paper Towel, etc. And they certainly are taking the consumer's money and spending it against them. And they do want to change. They want to turn America into a plantation economy. It's pretty obvious. And they're also the big funders of ALEC, which is, again, behind this effort to privatize education and to create a permanent Republican majority
Let's go back to two things that just flowed through what you just said, which are things I think that we've got to address. First, let's go back to the education. Public education is a fundamental aspect of democracy. That's Thomas Jefferson. That's Benjamin Franklin with the libraries. I mean, we've got to wrap ourselves in the flag, to wrap ourselves in the history and the glory of this nation as to what made it great, which was public education, and take these folks straight on as the un-Americans that they are. The other point that's so critical is the notion of what is government and where does the money come from. This unanswered right-wing charge that government wastes money, that government is bad, and that their plantation economy is the right way to go is antithetical to this nation. And Nancy Pelosi, about a year or two ago, captured it very well, which is public investment in infrastructure, public investment in human capacity is what made this country great. whether it's the schools or it's the Erie Canal, the Pony Express, the railroads, the highways, regardless of what we think about too much dependence on a car, the airports, the sewage systems. It's when that investment takes place by government with taxpayer money, that is then when private investment takes place. And let me give you my best example, which is build a new highway, put in an interchange, and 2 weeks later, there's a Cracker Barrel and a mobile gas station. Why these capitalists can't figure that out is beyond me.
Again, I'm speaking with the mayor of Madison, Wisconsin, Paul Soglin. Well, tell me, though, about the role of what you could describe as guerrilla media here. It seems to me that in spite of the massive money from the Koch brothers and the out-of-state money that's pouring in and the slick advertising campaign with all of the character assassination against Mayor Tom Barrett that's going on, it's curiously enough, to some extent, the playing field has been leveled by guerrilla media. In the case of the phony prank call from the Koch brothers that Scott Walker completely fell for hook, line, and sinker, and exposed who he really is. That's been followed up by a videotape of apparently one of the wealthiest women in the state of Wisconsin who owns a roofing company. She is basically saying, look, I want you to turn this state into a right-to-work state and a red state. And, basically, and he was a supplicant.
He personally put in $500,000.
Right, and he's completely, obviously, like a supplicant. He's basically, fawning at her feet.
And let me just say that she didn't have to put the $500,000 in. He would have been at her feet or anybody else's feet on the right to work stuff, because he genuinely believes that, unfortunately. But what we're seeing happen here, first of all, there's a good deal of groundwork being done throughout the state. I am probably, you and I are talking here, one of the few folks who's not out doing doors right now. So there's that point to be made. I mean, it's just getting out the vote. And I think both sides, including the Walker people, despite the fact that they have outspent Tom Barrett 8-1, they too realize that it's going to come down to getting out the vote, which is, by the way, one of the reasons that they're engaged in voter suppression. I got a call in my office on Friday from one of the low-income areas of the city. We got a call that somebody was going around the neighborhood telling the folks that they had to purchase an ID before they could vote. So it's that kind of voter suppression that's being engaged. The other thing is we may have a Richard Nixon Watergate situation here. There is, I think, 9-12 people who've been called before the grand jury now about what happened when Walker was county executive in Milwaukee. It's an ongoing investigation. We probably won't have all the facts out until after the election, just as all of Watergate obviously didn't come out until after the 72 election. But it's very possible that the Walker administration could be well tainted with charges. And one person already, by the way, has pled guilty of their using his county executive office for political purposes.
Well, Paul Soglin, I thank you very much for joining us here today. I guess the clock is ticking. You've only got a day and a half left before this sort of tectonic election takes place. In many ways, is a bellwether for what could happen in November. So I'm just, I'm surprised that the Democrats haven't as invested as much in it, just because psychologically a lot's at stake, isn't it?
Yes, we're a little disappointed that the National Party has not given us the kind of assistance that the National Republican Party has given Walker. But it's been lonely before, and I'm just optimistic that this shift in voter participation is going to do something for us on Tuesday. I just want to say I always enjoy speaking with you.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. Again, I've been speaking with Paul Soglin, who's the mayor of Madison, Wisconsin. He was originally elected to Madison City Council in 1968 while a graduate student when he was very active in the city's anti-war protests. His activities are chronicled in David Maranassis' best-selling book, They Marched Into Sunlight. Paul Soglin served three terms as the city's mayor starting in 1973 and another three terms in the 1990s, and he teaches at the Robert M. La Follette School of Public Affairs at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the Republicans' latest effort at radical social engineering.
There once was a union maid. She never was afraid of the goons and the ginks and the company finks and the deputy sheriff that made the raid. She went to the union hall when a meeting it was called. When the company boys come around, she always stood her ground. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me.